Good evening. This evening, I'm speaking with Archer and Della Tripp. I'm Mary Giles, and we're sitting here by the fire in the living room, or the keeping room, as we call it, and I'm going to find out a great many things about a man who has lived here, I think, a long time, and who is one of Westport's most important citizens. He's respected by everyone whom I hear speak of him. Were you born here?
Yes, I was, in 1911.
1911.
On Drift Road.
Mm-hmm. Did you always live on Drift Road?
No, I lived there 3 years, the first 3 years of my life, and then I went to Connell Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there until about, well, I started school from Connell Road.
Which school did you go to?
Well, the first school I went to was just a visit.
I see.
Was the west side. It's no longer there. It's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But then the first school I started was at Westport Point.
Mm-hmm. When you were a child, were you... I mean, I was bored when I was a little child. I mean, there didn't seem to me to be enough to do. Were you... Did you find enough things to do?
Oh, always. Oh. I always had enough to do.
What, did you help around your parents, or was it fun, sports and games and friends?
Well, I didn't have any playmates near me,
mm-hmm.
but I made up my own games. Because
mm-hmm.
I was 7 years younger than my sister,
mm-hmm.
and there was no other children around me within half a mile.
Over on Cornell Road?
On Cornell Road.
Think of it, how many more houses there are today.
Oh, you could count them on your fingers, the ones that were there when I was a boy.
Hmm.
And it's really
what
developed.
Kinds of games did you make up?
Oh, I used to play baseball.
By yourself?
By myself. It was a dirt road then. There was no macadam or any tar or anything like that. And there was a hill, a slight hill by my house. And there was a lot of stones.
Mm-hmm.
In the gravel road,
yeah.
And I used to go out there and I'd take a stick and throw the stones up in the air and hit them, you know,
yes.
in the woods. Oh boy! And I had to do that because there was no one to play with,
and so you just made up things
right.
to do.
Yeah.
When it was a rainy, cold day, what did you do in the house?
My mother always found something for me to do. She'd keep me busy.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever about your father?
Oh. My father, he was quite a man, my father.
He was?
He was something to look up to, because he set the example.
Mm-hmm. What did he do?
He was a carpenter and contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And about anything else, he could build a wall, he could dig a cistern and stone it up, and he could do anything, because in those days, you had to do everything to get by.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he was a good carpenter.
Let's see. You were born in 1911. Now, I was born in 1909, so I'm 2 years older than you are.
You have a little bit on me.
Yes. Well, then you've gone through several wars, and you've gone through several depressions,
right.
and all, just as I have. What did you use? Did you have an automobile when you were born?
No.
Your father have a car?
No, we didn't.
What did you use for transportation on this dirt road that you were on?
We used to walk.
You walked to school?
We walked. I didn't walk to school, but they had a truck. Not a bus, a truck used to take it, but they used to have to walk from where I lived to the main road,
mm-hmm.
and then the truck picked us up there.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to walk everywhere. Never thought anything of walking. We used to walk from Cornell Road. We used to go to, my mother she liked to go to church.
Yes. Where'd you go to church?
We went to church at Westport Point,
mm-hmm.
and we used to walk. They used to have services at night
mm-hmm.
in those days. And we used to walk to Westport Point to services and then walk back after.
Mm-hmm. Were these Sunday services night. In the middle of the week or on Sunday?
On Sunday night. Sunday
night.
Sunday night.
Did they have services in the morning too?
Yes, or just they did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they had evening services
too.
We had, when I was a child too, we had, well, we had services Sunday morning and Sunday night, and also prayer meeting on Wednesday.
They had a prayer meeting on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
But it was a little too much to walk.
I know.
That's about 5 miles an all-round trip just to go to prayer meeting.
But, and what about when it was cold weather?
Well, we used to go just the same.
You did?
Sometimes, if we were lucky, we got a ride partway home because Nathan Macomber had a car,
mm-hmm.
and he would give us a ride. I can remember sitting.
Where did Nathan Macomber live? Up here? Where
he lives on the main road. Do you know where... Bill Healy lives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right across from that, the big White House.
Oh, the big White House. Mm-hmm.
He had a car, and I can remember it was a Buick.
Uh-huh.
And it was a touring car, and I used to sit on the floor with my feet on the running board when he came back.
Yes.
Because it was quite a
thrill. It was quite a thrill. I mean, he picked up a lot of people.
Well, anyone that was coming
back. His
Of course, he had his own family to bring back.
Mm-hmm. Must have been a touring car.
It was a touring car, yeah.
Isn't it wonderful? After you went to this school that's now down, what did you say you called it?
The West Side School.
The West Side West School. Side. What, did you go to, always go there? Or
no, I just went there to visit.
Oh.
And the year that I started school, they closed it.
Oh, I see.
So I went to Westport Point in first grade.
And
they
then,
didn't have any kindergarten then.
No, you went there until...
I went there for the first grade, and then that was the First World War.
Yeah.
And my father left Westport, and he went to Fall River. He worked in the Crown and Shield shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there during the last end of the war, and during the flu, like they're talking about this swine flu now.
Yes.
Well, that's, my father had it.
My father did too.
And
we may have be immune.
Probably, because I didn't have it. But
I didn't have it either. But
I had an uncle that lived in Fall River. He was working in the same shipyard. He mm-hmm. was a carpenter too.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two children and his wife, and all four of them had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only seven going on eight.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go over and take the list of what they wanted from the store mm-hmm. and go get it for them and bring it back. And
which store did you go to?
Oh, my goodness. It was in Fall River. It was on...
How'd you get there?
Clemmie's. I think it was Clemmie's.
Uh-huh. How did you get to the store?
I walked.
From Cornhill Road?
No. This is after we had moved to the city.
After you moved to the Fall River.
We lived on Winthrop Street in Fall River.
In Fall River.
And they lived down on Globe Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go down and get their order and then go to, I think it was Clemmie's grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and get their order and take it back and leave it on the porch because you couldn't go in because you didn't want to get the germs.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
And I did that until they got so they could. And they all survived.
Yes.
None of them. But
my father survived,
they
too.
They were very,
but they
very
were,
sick.
He was very sick for quite a while. Well, I hope we don't have it again as much as badly as we did back in those days.
I don't think I'm even going to have the shots.
Well, I don't know whether I will either. I think after being exposed that way, we're probably immune. Mm. Did you, in school then, you went to school in Fall River for a while?
Yeah, the George B. Stone School.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for a year.
Mm-hmm. And did you come back then to Westport?
And then I came back to Westport on the Cornell Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were only there a short time, and my father went to work for John Wilbur down in Westport Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved down there to the ditch house. And that's where, it's right where the herons come in.
Mm-hmm. That must have been fun.
Oh, it was. We lived there, and I was 9 years old then.
Uh-huh.
And we lived there for 2 years. And I can remember going out heroning.
Oh.
And I was only just a little kid.
Yes,
know.
But did you put on boots and go out
in
the water?
Yeah, I had rubber boots, red rubber boots.
Uh-huh.
And they came up about the heel.
Yes.
I always managed to go over the top. Even
uh-huh,
when
of course, I know. Everybody, kids always do.
Yeah. But that was so good. And, of course, the Fields boys, like Albert Fields, the plumber,
Yes.
And
I taped his wife,
Janice,
yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And he has another brother, Donald, and one Raymond. Raymond. And their father was Joe Fields, and he was a lobsterman, and he got lost in the, never knew what happened. They just found the hatch of his boat. They think he might have got run into him by a steamer or something out there.
Oh.
And all these children were small.
Yes.
When he was lost. But I can remember, I was 9 years old, and one night I was out there with my father, Heron, and it came about 8:30. And my father said, "Well, boy," he always called me boy because of, my name was Archer. His name was Archer, too.
Yes, yeah, you had to be boy. You had to.
He said, "Well, boy, it's time to go in and go to bed." And I said, "Gee, Pa, can I stay a little longer?" And Joe Fields spoke up and he says, "I'll look out for him, Archer." My father said, "He wants to stay." So, boy, I stayed out here. And it was 1 o'clock.
When you got home?
When I went in. Well, my house was just
across
about 75 feet across the street, you know.
So we
stayed there, and we caught herons right out straight. What a time.
How much did you put in? Were they in buckets? Just buckets full of herons?
Well, we had a basket.
A great
one. He was on one side, and I was on the other. And I put
what
him in
did
this
the basket look like?
Just a regular bushel basket,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Regular
bushel basket.
Bushel basket.
It wasn't any special kind of heron.
No,
basket.
It was just
a
regular bushel basket.
And you filled a whole bushel basket or more than a bushel basket?
Well, I can remember. I got 161.
Oh, you know, that must have been a big thrill.
It was. I got 2 cents apiece for them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Would you like me to stoke up the fire?
Well, I thought maybe
she's going to let it go out.
Oh.
Well, now, after catching a whole bushel of herring and selling them, how many do you suppose there were in that bushel?
Well, it was 161 herring that I had.
161, you told.
Yeah,
and so that was, and you sold them for 2 cents apiece, so that was quite a thing.
That's right,
nine
I guess it
years
was.
Old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go? You were at the Point School then, or where?
No, I went to, there was a school at Westport Harbor. The Ocoxet School.
Oh, the Ocoxet School.
Mm-hmm. That Everett Cogswell lives there now in the old schoolhouse.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He bought that, they sold it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he bought it and made it into a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I went to school when I was down there.
Yeah.
That was about, I used to have to walk at least, it's a good half mile, maybe 3/4 of a mile. I used to walk to school. Down there.
Do you think the winters were colder or warmer or
different
than they are now or just about the same, the weather?
That winter that we were, the winter we were there at Westport Harbor, it was 1919,
mm-hmm.
and that was a real cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
And snow, we had snow. And my first teacher, the first teacher I had down there was Miss Gleason. But my second teacher, she was only there, I was only had her for about 3 months, and then Milton Earle,
mm-hmm.
was that's the first time he started teaching.
Teaching, really?
Right, down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him the first year.
Did you like him?
Oh, it was such a difference when he came there. They had so much trouble with that Miss Gleason.
Yes.
The older boys, because I was only little, but the older boys, they put her out the window, and she couldn't do anything with them.
Mm. You know?
So when Mr. Earle came, I still call him Mr. Earle, it was so different. He had such a good relationship with the children.
Mm-hmm.
And he played games, and it was, you enjoyed going to school.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say about, you said about the winters. Well, that winter, he walked from the Point across the river to come to over there to teach school. That's
all
how cold
the time.
It was.
You mean it was
not
just
all
frozen,
the time, but I mean it froze hard enough so that he walked across the channel and everything.
Hmm.
It was that cold that winter, and I know we burned wood in the house,
mm-hmm.
and it got to, so we had very little wood left.
Mm-hmm.
And George Brayton, he used to have oxen. He lived over on the on Howland Road,
mm-hmm.
and he came through the woods with his oxen. And a half a cart of wood on a sled,
mm-hmm.
and he came right over the stone walls,
But the snow came up over the snow.
And he came, and the crust was so hard that the oxen and the wood came right over the top of the stone walls and brought us the wood. That's how cold it was that year.
Yeah.
And I remember that's the first year they gave me an air rifle for Christmas.
Mm.
And I used to go out trying to shoot birds. I never hit many, but
mm-hmm.
I used to go out, and there were so many birds died that winter because in the field to the south of the house, there was a lot of weeds who had been there in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And those poor little birds, they came there for the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And you could find them on the ground. They would just, starve to death.
Yeah.
It was so cold.
Now they would. Everybody has bird feeders.
Yeah. Yes.
And they.
But I was only 9 years old, but I can remember that so well because I didn't even feel like going to try to shoot one after I saw them, you know.
No,
but,
poor thing. Did you have bluebirds and things in those days?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bluebirds everywhere.
Any were there other differences in animals? Were there other animals that were different that we don't have today?
We have a lot more raccoons now than we used to.
You do?
And we never had possums.
We didn't?
Oh, no. Possums are something that's come in the last 10, 12 years.
Really?
Never had
possums. What about foxes?
Oh, yeah. Always had foxes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
any difference in the kinds of fish? Do you remember, as you grew up, I mean, you don't have to think back to 9 years old, but as you grew up along the way,
yes, I know, like squeteague, that's weak fish.
Mm-hmm.
When my father was younger, they used to be around here. He used to go at night with a light
mm-hmm.
to go eeling,
mm-hmm.
and he used to get the squeteague.
Mm-hmm.
And you never saw bass.
You never did?
Not like they are today.
And what about bluefish?
Oh, yes, bluefish they had, but not as many.
Not many, no. What about lobsters? Did anybody go
lobsters? Always had lobsters. Yeah, used to.
Mm-hmm.
My father used to go fishing. He had a sailboat, no motor.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to go out with a sailboat
mm-hmm.
under sail power.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to go fishing, and then he'd come into Westport Harbor and clean the fish. And then take them around to the summer people in the harbor and sell the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he always had a big pair of oars.
I wonder if your father knew Dan Meter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I knew him, too.
He was the first person I taped.
I like him
very much.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of him.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He's sweet. And his son, what is his son's name?
Freeman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His wife is Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's an old-timer, Dan is.
Yes.
He knows the harbor like his hand.
Yes, he helped work on the Charlton House when it was built. Well, after you went to the harbor school, where did you go?
Came back to Connell Road, and then I went to Westport Point again.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed there until 7th grade.
Mm-hmm. The Westport Point went through the 7th grade then.
Well, one year was 7th, and the next year was the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
They had 8 grades.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I went to the Milton Earl School. Well, it was a high school then.
It was a high school.
Yeah.
And was Milton Earl, he wasn't at the high school then, was he? Or was he?
Yes.
He was.
When I went, he was at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was principal then at the high school.
He was?
I went there in the 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the first day I went there, he put me in the junior room. That was for the 7th grade.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in the 8th grade.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you stay where I put you. Boy, he was really...
Oh dear!
Rough.
Did you have to do two grades then, or what?
After, I suppose he looked and he put me in the 8th grade where I belonged.
Yes.
But the way he came out and said it, I wasn't going to stay another year in the 7th grade.
No. After you graduated from high school, well, did you play any games? Apparently, one time. Was it before or after Milton Earl was principal that Norman Gifford was principal?
After.
After.
He became superintendent,
mm-hmm.
Milton Earl, and then I think Mr. Gifford was there for my senior year, I think.
He was great for athletics, and I know Jim Purse and Bill Purse have told me that, they went into professional baseball, that there were lots of sports in the high school up here, lots of sports. Did Milton Earl have sports too?
He went to Durfee. Milton Earl went to Durfee.
He did.
And then he went to Brown after.
Uh-huh.
But he never played for Brown, but he played for Durfee.
He did.
And he was...
What did he play?
Football.
Football.
Football. Yes, he played football. So he was sort of, he wasn't the coach, but he was down there all the time, shouting and, oh, boy.
So you had quite a football team.
Well, they did pretty good because they didn't, the first football team they had, they didn't even have uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
All they had was a sweatshirt and just regular pants. That's
mm-hmm.
all. No helmets or anything.
Oh, that must have been kind of, did the kids get hurt?
No, not really. I remember they played vocational.
Mm-hmm.
Just a scrimmage. They came out.
It must not have been, you know, if they didn't have helmets and all today the way they played,
oh, no.
They'd be just torn to pieces.
But they played in the 4-acre lot, we call it then. That's at Central Village, just the site of, do you know where Luther Bowman lives?
Mm-hmm.
Fire station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just north of the fire station, that
mm-hmm.
big lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
where they,
and there was all the stones and everything were in it then. When you were playing, you had to look out for the stone. Of course, they had them taken out after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, built in bases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you go to school there?
Yes.
You did? What, were you in school when Archer was?
Yes, the same time.
Tell me about it.
Oh, well, I used to watch him play baseball. Used to be.
Where were you? Were you born here in Westport, too?
Yes, I was born on Drift Road, too.
You were? Did you know each other? Of course you did.
No, not till eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And when
went to high school for the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you like each other especially, or did you pay any attention? You know,
didn't pay any attention to
you
her.
You weren't.
I knew her before that, though.
You did?
Because she was in a play at the Grange Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That was the grammar school, you know,
Children's
Day.
Uh-huh.
And she was Queen of the May. She was dancing around.
<laughs> And
I said to my mother, you see that girl with the long...
blonde hair.
Curls way down. I said, I'm going to marry her.
Oh, I think that's darling.
He always says that, but I really wonder.
I did. And I never saw her again for a long time after that. But she made headlines. She was in the paper.
When?
Don't you remember when they came to steal the...
The wine.
The wine from your cellar?
Yeah, that was during Prohibition.
Oh, and there were, you know, it was during Prohibition when they had the rum running here, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
right.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everybody who, all the fishermen,
mm-hmm.
Well, it was during the Depression too, wasn't it? Or
yes,
wasn't
it was, well, from the time that they passed the Volstead Act
mm-hmm.
until they repealed it in 1933. That's
and that was actually 32, as I recall, 32 and 33 were the real depths of the Depression.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing that kept the people going around here was the
rum running.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody get arrested or anything, or did the police just turn their backs on it? I mean, they had
no,
they knew
well,
people
they,
would starve
they
if they didn't.
A few, they had the federal men around,
mm-hmm.
and they arrested a few, but... they never had to serve time or anything. They had to pay a fine or something
mm-hmm.
like that. But
how did they work it?
Well,
or don't you want to tell?
I don't think I should tell.
All right.
No, you want to read
Fred
Ely's
article.
I did read
notes.
It. I did read it.
Well, that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I ought to tape him. Since he's written an article on it, I thought I ought to tape
That'd
him.
That'd be a good idea, too. He'll give you the lowdown.
Uh-huh. Well, I think for history, it would be interesting. 100 years from now, it will be interesting that aspect of life in Westport, you know?
It would.
Yeah.
And,
It's really true, because if it hadn't been for that, there was an awful lot of people that were involved in that.
Who were hungry, who would have been hungry.
That's right. And it wasn't, they're not directly, involved.
Mm-hmm.
But they might rent that barn,
mm-hmm.
so they could store the liquor in the barn,
mm-hmm.
or in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they got paid for that, so much a case.
Mm-hmm.
Every case they stored, they got paid so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, who paid them?
Well,
you don't need to name names.
No, but it was they would have a man that was going to receive this liquor,
mm-hmm.
and then they would have a man that would hire the man that was going to work,
mm-hmm.
and then they would have a man that would be there when the liquor came in.
Mm-hmm.
And after that was unloaded and everything, then this man that was there, he would pay the men,
mm-hmm.
right then.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pay them for the work.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, after it was stored, if they had to leave it so long a time or anything, then he would pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And it would all come right down the chain.
Now, you weren't very old when all this was going on, were you?
Well,
how old were you, do you think?
At the end, I 1930 from 11, I was 19 years old.
Uh-huh. So you did know what was going on.
Yes.
You weren't naive about what was going on.
No, I knew.
You were taking part in it, too.
I'll tell you one thing that'll be all right to put in here. I worked for the Dartmouth and Westport Lobster Company,
mm-hmm.
in Paternera.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have, down at Westport Point, the boats used to come in with the lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them in, used to keep them in crates,
mm-hmm.
in the water.
Did Mrs. Lees have that?
No, that belonged, it was Charles Gifford,
mm-hmm.
had it. And then...
was that Charlie I. Gifford?
Charles H.
H, oh.
Charles Herbert.
Oh.
So then, after he went to Paternera,
mm-hmm.
and... right at the bridge, the market is still there.
There, I know where
he started
that
market.
Uh-huh.
And that was, it still goes under the name of Gifford's Market.
Yes.
But then he died, and they had a corporation, Dartmouth and Westport, D&W, they call it, Dartmouth and Westport,
mm-hmm.
Fish Company.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this then they had the place at Westport Point, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a man that worked there,
mm-hmm.
summers. In fact, Harold Wood,
mm-hmm.
that was the principal,
mm-hmm.
the high school.
Mm-hmm.
He worked there for a few years,
mm-hmm.
for them. And this morning, I used to have to go to Boston to take the lobsters to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So I came with a truck about 3 o'clock in the morning to come down to pick up the lobsters to go to Boston. And when I drove down on the dock, this fellow come out with a light and a revolver. Stuck it right into my stomach.
Mm.
Says, hold it right there. And then he looked and said, oh. I said, well, I'm coming down for the lobsters. He said, well, just pull over here until we get unloaded. They were unloading
their rum.
Their rum.
Right
there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something.
But gave me a thrill when they stuck that revolver right in there.
It wouldn't give me a thrill, I don't think. Give me something else. I don't know what. But when you were doing all these things, fishing what kinds of things did you do for hobbies, for fun? Were
hunting.
There dances? Hunting.
Hunting.
You went hunting.
Oh, I used to go to dances too.
Mm-hmm. Where were the dances held?
Grange Hall.
Up at the Grange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Northwestport, they had a Grange Hall.
Now, were you
there.
Married when did you get married?
1933.
That's right after.
Right in the midst of the Depression.
Yes.
We got married.
What'd you do?
Got married on Tuesday. I lost my job on Friday.
What'd you do?
Oh, we did odd jobs.
What did you work at?
I was just at home.
You didn't. You just worked at home?
Yeah.
You never...
I used to work with your father, carpentry.
But she said, what did you do? You worked before. You worked.
What did you do when you
years
worked?
Years ago, I used to
work. I've always worked all my life, so.
Yeah.
What did
I used
you?
To work every summer at Hosnick for
mm-hmm.
Allen's,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's about all before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, we didn't have a car, and that made a difference about getting around.
Yes.
Of course, when we got married, I was working.
Did you
working,
have a car
I was working,
you were married?
I was working for the lobster company.
Yes. And then when you lost your job by the day after you got married or something, what did you do?
Well, I was out of work. I came home. That's it.
What?
I had a
car.
Had
you saved enough? You had a car.
We had a car, but the first year we were married, but I never registered it again because I didn't have enough money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Essex.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Essex? Mm-hmm. It was like a cheese box.
I remember
the old square
Essex.
One.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, now did you go farming? Did you raise vegetables and have a garden and so on so that you could?
We had a garden. We went to live in the Brook House.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is?
No. Main
on Main Road, right in the hollow. As you go up Dunham's Hill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That big house, it's like a three-story house there.
Right near Nason Macambeth,
just,
right across.
Yeah, just to the south of Bill Healy's, the next one south. That's where we lived. We lived there for 3 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you had a garden, and did you can, and so on, so that you could...
Yes.
If you didn't have any money or any job or
cooks.
Anything, you must have
cooks.
Had to do something.
Yeah.
Had you saved a lot of money when you were working over at...
I only got $18 a week. You couldn't save much money on that.
No. In 1933, you got $18 a week.
Right.
That's something, isn't it?
Yeah. My father used to go by, and he'd leave a couple of quarts of milk in the mailbox on his way to work down at the point. And then old Walter Cornell would come up sometimes with a quart of milk.
And did you have... chickens or eggs or anything like that? You didn't farm any at all?
No.
Our refrigerator was the well.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bucket. We put the milk and butter and stuff in and put it down the well to keep it cold.
And in the wintertime, most of the rooms were ice boxes.
Well, yes, I was
except
just... Did you have fireplaces? Did you have wood? How many cords of wood do you suppose you bought?
We just had a hot heater.
A stove.
Oil stove.
Mm-hmm.
For cooking, we had an oil stove.
Yeah.
You must have had to bundle up quite a lot.
Well, we didn't mind it so much then.
We kept the doors closed. There was only a couple of rooms we lived in.
I know. Well, that's the way I do now here, because oil is so expensive. I close off in cold weather. I close off that end of the house and all of that.
Yeah.
And this big chimney, when the furnace is working, heats the whole upstairs. And there are two bedrooms and a bath. I didn't take you up because the stairs are so steep. But I live up there, and it's nice and warm, even if I, just heating that part of the house.
I shot a deer one fall during deer season, and I hung it in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
There was a window there and a window over here, and I put a board across the top and hung it, and we just cut off when we wanted it. And
it was that cold in your house?
It was that cold. We had no heat in that front room.
Uh-huh.
And it's kept
it
all...
Just frozen, I suppose. It was like a freezer.
Just like a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And that was really good, too, that deer.
And there's a brook right at the bottom of the property there. We used to catch trout.
Mm-hmm.
We have trout for breakfast.
You had fun. Now, where did you get bread and things like that?
Della used to make bread.
Yeah.
Where'd you get flour? Where was your grocery store? Where you got your grocery?
Well, Cowwood had a little store right at
At the corner up here.
Central Village.
Mm-hmm.
Where the post office is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where the post office is now. Yeah. He had a store there. Mm-hmm. I worked for him for about 3 months while we were living at the book house.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have his truck to come home with. That was pretty good.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we used to walk everywhere we went.
We didn't go very far. We walked up to Cornell Road to see his mother and father.
And we used to go through the woods.
Yeah.
We didn't go the road. It was nearer through the woods.
Yeah.
Well, that's rough. I think that's kind of rough living.
Yes,
and
we didn't have electricity because they hadn't wired the house and they wanted to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
so they didn't bother to put electricity in.
But you
so
were starting
lamps?
With
oil
lamps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you live there?
3 years.
Then where'd you go?
To New Jersey.
Down to New Jersey?
Yeah.
And welding? When you were down in New Jersey?
When I went down there, I went down to work in a kennel.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the kennel 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that too.
Animals?
That
with
all
dogs?
Dogs,
and
yeah.
Dogs. Uh-huh.
Very, I liked that. That was.
Do you remember reading about Mrs. Dodge?
Yes,
that's who we worked for.
Oh, really?
Geraldine Dodge.
Yes, she was very rich, wasn't
she? Oh,
yes. She had
millions.
Yes.
Millions.
Yes.
Yeah. Left a lot of it to the dogs.
She did? I can remember that now, too, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you worked down in New Jersey in a kennel for 6 years, and then what?
Well, then the war started.
Did you go to war?
You were too old, weren't you?
Weren't you too old by that?
No, I wasn't too old, but they wouldn't take me.
Why?
Because my arm wouldn't straighten out.
Oh.
As a boy, it was broken.
Oh.
So,
went into defense work.
I went into defense work because the Mrs. Dodge had had the kennel. She wouldn't raise your pay or anything, and I couldn't even buy a defense bond. So I.
You mean she had all that money and she didn't give you a good salary?
Well, I mean, it was all right. It was a good salary. It was very good. I mean, it was excellent when I left here to go down there to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a house was furnished with a job and everything. We had a nice house. But when the war came, things started going up.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't raise
her
salary.
All your money went.
I gave her my notice and I went into, that's where I started welding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Down in New Jersey.
Madison.
And she came.
Madison, New Jersey?
She sent her manager down, a dozen times to try to get me to come back, take over.
Well, I'm sure she would.
She raised the price and everything else, but I never did go back.
How long did you stay welding down there?
And what kinds of things
did you weld?
Well, it was a subcontract. I welded mufflers for LSDs and PT bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, several different kinds. It was a subcontract to Baldwin Locomotive in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it was. It was all mufflers for these and some submarine.
And now, when you were doing that, now that was repetitive, like just as just a steel work you're doing. Did you sing to yourself and meditate, more or less, and kind of have a good time by yourself when you were doing that?
Well, once I got so I knew what I was doing, because I'd never welded or anything.
No.
Well, once I found out, then I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good crew. We used to work nights.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get through at 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and there was two or three fellas there. And when we always took a shower before we go home,
mm-hmm.
and we'd sing barbershop.
Had
a good time.
How did you feel about his working at night?
I never liked him working at night, but he had to work in the kennel sometimes.
Sure.
Every third day he had to stay overnight.
Mm-hmm. You must have been kind of
lonesome,
didn't you? You didn't work at all? You didn't go out and work or do anything be interested?
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Spencer.
Then Spencer was born. Saw him was born.
Excuse me. Was it terribly difficult to learn that welding?
No, it wasn't. It seemed to come to me very easily. I was interested in it.
Does it take a lot of strength?
No strength. No,
it's
anybody can do it.
Anybody could.
A lady or anybody. Can
really?
Just a steady.
Well, here, Mrs.
A steady hand.
A steady hand. Mrs. Longfeld took over after Mr. Longfeld's death and
mm-hmm.
has been doing. Isn't that welding, or would you call?
Well,
it welding?
It's sort of. It's like a blacksmith welding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They weld. Blacksmiths weld.
Mm-hmm. What kind of welding did you do?
Oh, well, it was all electric arc down there. It was all electric.
And you stayed welding down there for how long?
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a chance to come back here. Petty and Potter had just started their business.
Where was that?
There weren't any welding shops around at all.
No.
Then.
No.
And they started just outside the fire station because Linwood Potter was working for the fire department,
mm-hmm.
and he was on duty nights. And they started welding just outside of the fire station, and then they bought...
Now, that was the one in Central Village.
Still one at Central mm-hmm. Village. And then there was White Rabbit. Used to be a, well, like an ice cream and hot dog place up near the Narrows in Westport, but on right near the Narrows. And it had gone out of business, and they bought that and brought it down in back of Linwood's house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they started. And then they
now that's right up near the town hall, isn't
right.
it?
Right, it was mm-hmm. right next to the town hall.
I think Linwood's son was a friend. David was only in the third grade when he was here, but I can't remember his son's name. But I think they were friends.
Gerald.
They were friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, when I came, they had the building there in back. That's where I started working for them,
mm-hmm.
and then we built. Where Al Lee's is, the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That was there. They built that building originally. Of course, Al has added on to it, so it's about three times as big as
it
was.
Yes, he keeps adding on. I never knew anybody to keep adding it. Did you ever see anything keep... I kidded him the other day. I said, look, if you're going to have to cover all of Westport to be satisfied.
It has a nice store, though.
It is nice.
Nice.
Everybody used to try. I mean, I can remember even a few years ago, people used to go into BPM and so on. Now they, Eleanor Tripp, for instance, used to go into BPM because they didn't have very much here. But now he carries everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as reasonable as any of the stores in anywhere.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's nice for Westport to have.
It is.
Supermarket.
It's wonderful. It's marvelous.
They come from Rhode Island.
Yes, they do.
Because they open on Sunday, I suppose.
Yes, and open at night.
Yes.
He must be coining money. I don't you think he?
Well,
must
he's
be?
Spending it too. Because
is he?
Every time he adds on or anything, it costs him a
yes.
lot of money.
He told me when I taped him, and he told me when I was taping him that he didn't think. He would work that his knees weren't very good or something, and that he didn't think he'd work very many more years. And I asked him whether he'd sell the business or whether he'd leave it to his family. He said he didn't want his sons to have to go into that business just because he was in it.
Mm.
If they wanted to, fine. If they didn't want to,
right.
So he doesn't know, I guess, what he's going to do. But that was interesting to me.
Yeah,
that
he's still young.
Yes, he is still young. He's awfully young to retire.
Yeah.
His mother isn't very well now.
No, I heard that.
Hmm. I'm going down to tape her
yes.
in a couple of days because
yes.
I think she's had an interesting
yes.
life here.
Yes.
Right. She had a lot of, about the Westport Point there.
Yes, the market.
Mm-hmm.
All the.
I can remember that when Bill Whalen had the market down there. It wasn't a market then, it was just a dry goods store. He sold everything. You could go down there and buy boots or clothes.
Who was this?
Bill Whalen, William Whalen, Bill Whalen.
Which side of the street was it on? Or was it at?
It's right there.
Right at where Lee's?
Right where
Lee's.
And he had the place where you got the clothes was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he had everything, upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
He
was
sold
like
everything.
A dry goods store.
Everything. He sold everything. He sold shells, shotgun shells.
Groceries?
No groceries. No. He didn't
just
sell
clothes,
clothes
and guns
and guns
and sporting equipment.
And then he sold gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he used to have it in 5-gallon cans.
Mm-hmm.
There was no pumps.
No.
You just drove in and they took 5-gallon can and poured it into the...
Were there pumps any place else? I mean, did they have filling stations, gas stations, or was it...
they did eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Did Carlwood have gas?
Oh, yeah, but that's a long time after. That's a long time after. Because Bill Whelan had it before anybody did. And everybody at first had it in cans.
Mm-hmm.
They had Bill had a tank,
mm-hmm.
but it only held, I don't know, 100 or 200 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd draw it out of that into the 5-gallon cans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were round cans, about this tall, and they had, around the outside of them, they had like wood,
mm-hmm.
thin wood all around them. I don't know whether that was so they wouldn't make a spark
mm-hmm.
when they poured it in
mm-hmm.
or something.
Maybe
like
so.
That.
But didn't Charlie Soule sell theirs?
Oh, they did, yeah.
Hostage.
He sold over at Hostage, sure. They all did after. Like Abe Potter had gas up there, and Charlie Brownell. He had gas. Burt Brownell. Well, Charlie had it. Stole.
And these were gas tanks, a regular filling station, or were they?
Well, it was. When they had it, it was. It was.
Mm-hmm.
They had the tank in
mm-hmm.
the ground, and they had the pump.
And Mr. Schwartz here, up here, John Schwartz. When did he start getting gas?
Oh, long after.
Really?
Oh yeah, long, long after, because he wasn't up here until.
He was over on Division Road,
Division
wasn't he?
Division Road, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when he came up here, I mean, it was all, everything was electric. But those pumps, you had to churn them by hand. There was no electricity.
What year was this about, you think?
Oh, it was back, it must have been 1920.
Mm-hmm.
When Bert Brownell
22?
Had the pumps, he had a garage right where the post office is at Central Village.
It was a big
now,
garage.
This is before you were married, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they all the pumps, they had them down at Adamsville.
Yeah.
But you had to crank it by hand like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go around once and there was a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. Nobody's told me that. I didn't know that.
Sure.
When do you think they started getting regular pumps?
Well, not until they got electricity. Like,
did they get electricity here?
Let's see now.
I remember they had petitions. Everybody signed a petition to get electricity down on Drift Road.
It couldn't have been much before.
It was about
1920.
Oh, yeah, it was before that.
Before 1920 they got it?
I think so.
I know we didn't get it on Cornell Road until... Oh, good lot. I was in high school before we got it down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, probably.
I suppose you had to, I mean, first of all, you did it go through, signed petitions, and it went through the town hall, and they voted it just like they voted for this?
Well, then I suppose they'd bring it from the city, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't go through. You didn't vote for
an
election. You had to pay the Electric Light Company.
I see.
To put the polls in.
Yeah. And
every person had to pay for his own polls?
No, but you had to get so many together.
I see.
And then it would cost so much, and you'd all have to
pay part of it.
If you got enough, then they would pay.
If there were enough on the road, they'd
mm-hmm.
put it down.
Mm-hmm.
But Everett Dunham, same way with telephone.
Yes.
Wasn't any telephone.
No.
And Everett Dunham, do you know where he lived?
Yes.
You know where Burkett lives?
Yes.
He lived there.
Yes.
And he had... The Brook House, he owned that too.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his own private line in from up to his house down to the Brook House.
Yeah.
He had a private line.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
and,
to do with it.
Ernie Beattie, you know, he was a summer resident in Westport and he was an electrician.
Yes.
So he had something, he had his own plant.
His Delco plant or something like that.
Yeah.
His own little electric plant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
there used to be a lot of those around. Windmills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
were there windmills down at the down in 1920
when
all this pumping was going on?
When I lived at the harbor, that's how they got their water down there, was by windmills. They had.
How long was it before the windmills disappeared? After the electricity started, or what?
Yeah, after they got electricity, then they started to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they had down at the casino that was down at Westport Harbor. I think that went with hurricane or something. But they had two windmills over there, and they used to pump the water for the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
that water system at the harbor was made of wood,
mm-hmm.
cypress.
Mm-hmm.
The pipes were all wooden pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Went all to all the summer houses at the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And they pumped the water over to because the old windmills, you could hear them going when the wind blew.
Where were the west windmills at the point?
Westport Point.
Let's think about down now. There's Leeches.
I know.
And there's a Paquachuck. Were they anywhere near? And there's the.
I don't remember any down there.
You don't remember any windmills?
I
don't.
There was one down at Brayton Martin's.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Davis place.
Mm-hmm.
There was one down there.
Mm-hmm.
And where else was there another one?
Now, which was the Davis place?
That's where. Jimmy Martin owns now Brayton. You know where Hugh Martin lives?
Mm-hmm.
The first house.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was the Charles Davis place. And that was my aunt. He married my aunt Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go down there when I was a kid. And he had the pond just to the north of the house. And his brother, he had a brother, Ezra Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had turtles in this pond, and he used to feed them. He'd go out there, and I was just a little kid, you know, point that was so interesting to me. He'd take that, go out with a pan of cornmeal. He'd mix it with cornmeal with warm water.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go out and bang on that pan, and the turtles would all come.
Isn't that wonderful?
And he'd take and put that cornmeal out, and they'd eat it, you know.
Yeah. Well, now I wonder, what did you people... Because when I'm thinking about the time, what did you say? At the time that you were speaking of, there were summer people here too.
Oh, yes.
How many summer people would there be, maybe? What proportion?
Almost as many as now.
Almost? Now, I know that Jean and Ed Yeomans were friends of ours in Georgia. This girl I was talking with on the telephone here a minute ago, became acquainted with. We all got together. We were working in Georgia together. And now Ed's father sailed down here long before Ed's is as old as I am.
Mm.
And he's older than you
yes.
are. And his father and mother were here a long time ago, so that there were all kinds of summer people.
Oh, sure.
And they didn't have any electricity either.
No.
They had kerosene
right.
lamps.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the summer people? Did they mix? Were they good friends, or did they kind of stay apart?
Oh, they stayed apart. Like there was, of course, when I got, I was always kind of in awe of them. Like
you were
when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I got older, I wasn't. They kind of mix in a little, but not too much. Like some of them would play baseball with us.
Mm-hmm.
Things, you know, if they were young boys, they'd
mm-hmm.
play. They were pretty good. Like the Dexters.
Mm-hmm.
They were nice boys. The Smitty. And in fact, Louis, Spinny and Louis, and Louis, Louis' boy works up at the Cumberland Farms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they named it for his uncles, Smitty.
Mm.
He was a good athlete, Smitty.
Mm.
And then there was Everett Pell. He was another summer resident.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good athlete, too.
And they all these summer people came because of the water, of course. They came to swim,
yeah.
And you all swam. You said you were in the water all the time.
Well, sure, I used to go quahogging when I was a kid, quahogging and crabbing and I used to go and get quahogs and sell them 50 cents a peck.
Hmm. When was that you sold them for 50 cents a peck?
Well, when I was about 12, 13.
Uh-huh. And oysters? Were the oysters terribly
expensive? There were no oysters in the West River. I used to live over near the West River.
And there were no oysters. The oysters were over here,
East
all
River.
Over here on
yeah.
the East River.
But now there are a few in the West River.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I know the West River just like my hand. Because
mm-hmm.
that's.
He lived on the West River and I lived on the East River.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you know the East River like your hand.
Well, not as well as that. But any time my father wanted to get clams, he'd just go down and dig a few, whatever he needed, or quahogs,
mm-hmm.
or eels. Or
mm-hmm.
go down. He never went hunting, but if he wanted to get a duck, he'd just go down and shoot a couple of ducks.
Well, in a way, there was a lot. There were lots of hardships, but there were also lots of resources.
Oh, yes. Well, that's one thing. When after we got married, we never went hungry because I'd always go to the river
and get
something
fish
to eat.
Yes.
And we used to go get eels and sell the eels. Used to get 18 cents a pound for round eels and 20 cents a pound for split eels.
Uh-huh.
And I saw them up in Al-Lee's here 3-4 weeks ago, $2.95 a pound.
I know, doesn't it make you sick? Well, we're going to probably run over onto the next side of this tape because there's so much to say. Let's not talk too much more, but let's say if you could change anything today about the way things are, is there anything you would change?
Well, if I could have changed it sooner, I would have had this zoning law, so you'd have to have 2 acres instead of 100 by 200 feet.
Yes.
That way, you wouldn't have as many people, and you wouldn't have as many children going to school, and there wouldn't have been as
much taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you a little bit. I don't want the tape to run out before I get a chance to ask you about when it was you started this work with the steel.
Oh.
When you built your workshop up on,
when I came back
on Kirby Road.
Yeah. And then I worked in back of Linwood's house in the old shop there for 8 or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then
you built your own place.
I bought this place where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there ever since. So I've been in business myself about, it's almost 25 years now.
Mm-hmm. You see, we came 25 years ago, and I think you were in business for yourself the first time I really became conscious of you.
That's just about the time I started.
Mm-hmm.
I was 52 when I started.
Yes. Well, that was the year we moved in, that awful time when we couldn't get the house cleaned up, you know. It was 51.
Yeah.
And then the first time we really could kind of settle in was in 52. Well, I think you're so right that it was Mr. Richard Paul who really began to work on the zoning. He saw what was coming, you know, and he began really then very hard to work very hard to try to get the town people to see that they had to have larger plots or they'd have to pay so much for the schools.
Yeah.
Mabel Crosby has all those people down on her land all stuck together in tiny little places.
I guess so.
And, but she thinks it's a mistake too.
Yeah.
And now she's making half-acre plots just like everybody else and going right along with it.
Mm.
Well, I'll say good night. And are you warm enough?
Oh, yes.
We'll have some cider and some donuts. And while I do it, maybe you'd like to listen to the tape.
Oh.
They become refugees. It wasn't because they were thrown out. They were told to get out by the other Arabs who said, we will clean up Israel in 2 months, then you'll be able to go back and share in the spoils. Attempts at repatriation have been successful. There are people who did stay and did not go. It's a funny thing. Americans have asked that question as a matter of justice. Why do not we repatriate even today a lot of the Palestinians and so forth? We have a very clear precedent in our own history, which goes back to the revolutionary days. We tend to think that all Americans were revolutionaries. More than two-thirds, maybe even more than that, were Tories. They were for the British. They didn't want any revolution to take place here any more than we would permit a revolution to take place here today. Many of them fled the country, went up to Canada. When the war was settled, as part of the peace treaty, Britain wanted those people to be repatriated to the United States. Benjamin Franklin told them to go fly a kite, that nobody was going to repatriate people who were so, how shall I say, unpatriotic as to think themselves as better off under the British than they were under a new American Constitution. So we never repatriated those people who fled from Boston, from Philadelphia, and elsewhere. We never did. They were resettled elsewhere. There was some compensation made, but in the treaty, we never allowed repatriation. Israel would have to be crazy to repatriate people today who would constitute a far greater threat to Israel than is imaginable. But on the other hand, Israel does recognize its obligation, even though in a court of law, if everything, if all the facts were put on the table, I doubt that Israel would come out the loser. But she has offered in the past to help with the repatriation, with the resettlement. She has made greater contributions to the Palestinians while they were outside of Israel in terms of monies than all the other Arab countries put together. Now, these are facts, and yet, you know, the entire Palestinian problem is laid at Israel's feet. Israel is willing to accept responsibility. She knows that her problems will never be settled without the answer to that. More. That's what we call resettlement.